1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where we're going to be tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. You know, I don't believe there's been a spiritual gift that's caused more confusion and debate in the church than the gift of tongues. And chapter 14, really the whole chapter Paul devotes to this subject. And in chapter 13, verse 8, as we'll see tonight, Paul predicts that one day tongues, the gift of tongues, are going to cease. There's basically, I said this last week, you can boil all the different beliefs on tongues, you can boil it all down to three basic groups of people. One group of people believe that the gift of tongues is operative today and it's essential to salvation. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Okay, and I told you my grandmother believed that way. Some people believe, the second group, the gift of tongues is operative today, but not every believer will have the gift. So they don't make it a requirement. But that, you know, they say, you know, many do have the gift, but some don't. Then there's a third group which is what I believe, that the gift of tongues was a legitimate gift, but it has ceased today. We began to discuss this last week. Why? First of all, what was the gift of tongues? All right, well, the gift of tongues was a supernatural gift. It was a miraculous thing. What it was is a person would speak in a language that they'd never learned. And they could witness of Christ to somebody. They could share spiritual truth with somebody in a language they didn't know, a language that was unknown to them. The gift of tongues wasn't the ability to speak in a string of gibberish. Okay, there's nothing supernatural at all about that. That could easily be faked. At the Tower of Babel, you remember what happened? What did God do? He scattered the people. How did God scatter the people at the Tower of Babel back in Genesis? He scattered them by confusing their languages, their tongues. And so now they could no longer communicate. Well, in order for us to evangelize the nations with the gospel, that obstacle, that language barrier, that language gap, somehow has to be overcome. Well, God gave to the early church the gift of tongues to help them with this. And in the city of Corinth, which is the only church that Paul wrote to that mentions this gift, but the city of Corinth, as we studied, was a metropolis. It was a melting pot, a very metropolitan city. It was a melting pot of different nationalities that came there. Well, the church in Corinth, many had the gift of tongues, and they could communicate God's truth to all these different nationalities and people that came there. They could communicate God's truth in a very supernatural way. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, is really the clearest verse in your Bible that's going to tell you why God gave the gift of tongues. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14, 22 says, "Wherefore, tongues are for a what?" That's the purpose. They were for a sign. But then he tells you who it was assigned to, a miraculous sign to. Not to them that believe. So it wasn't a sign to believers. It was a sign to them that, say it with me, believe not. See, now, from the context, verse 21 is a quote from Isaiah. It appears here in the context, Paul had unbelieving Israel in mind. Well, go to chapter 1, and we're going to see that is in fact the case. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. We were just in 14:22. Now go to chapter 1, verse 22. And we cross-reference this, and sure enough, tongues are for a sign. And verse 21, or verse 22 says, "For the Jews, what? Require a sign." The nation of Israel was born through the miraculous use of signs. It was born through the use of miraculous signs. God always dealt with Israel through miraculous signs. So, tongues are for a sign. The Jews require a sign. Where was the church at Corinth started? Right next door to a Jewish synagogue. It was literally started on the other side of the wall of a Jewish synagogue full of unbelieving Jews. Tongues are for a sign to believers or unbelievers? The Jews require a sign. So we're getting the picture. As Israel observed these miraculous signs being demonstrated by the Gentiles, this was testimony to them that, hey, God has left you, Israel. They had been the favored people for years. God has left you, and now He's gone among the Gentiles. And these sign gifts were, like tongues, were physical, visible evidence, which the Jews required, that God was now among the Gentiles and that judgment was imminent on the nation of Israel if they did not repent. Now, tonight, that's kind of all review. Tonight, let's think about this question. When did the gift of tongues cease? Go to 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13. Okay, look at verse 8. It says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Then he goes on in verse 9 to discuss knowledge and prophecy. He just says in verse 8 that tongues are going to cease. Now, you know what that means, shall cease? It means to stop. It means to restrain, to quit, to come to an end. It means exactly what you thought it meant. Tongues shall cease. Tongues are going to come to an end. The gift of tongues will one day quit. It'll be stopped. The phrase shall cease, that verb, is in the middle active voice, which indicates that tongues are going to come to an end in and of themselves as their purpose is done. Remember, tongues were for a sign. The Jews required a sign. So all through the book of Acts, God is doing two things. God is calling the nation of Israel who had crucified their Messiah. He's calling them to repentance for crucifying Him. Realizing their constant rejection, God is simultaneously beginning to call out the church, the body of Christ. So throughout the book of Acts, Israel's still in the picture. Paul's taking the gospel to them first. What would Paul usually do when he'd go into a city? What's the first place he'd go? Synagogue. He'd take the gospel to them first. See, they would typically, by and large, reject it. Then what would Paul do? Paul would then take the gospel over here to the Gentiles, and they would receive it. And they loved it. They embraced it. And Paul did this. He went to the Gentiles in hopes, according to Romans 11. We read it last week, 11 through 14. He did this in hopes that it might provoke the Jews, or Israel, to jealousy and cause them to turn to Christ. So Paul would take the gospel to the Gentiles over here, and then the Gentiles, many times, like here at Corinth, would demonstrate these miraculous sign gifts that were supposed to be Israel signs. And this was to provoke Israel to jealousy. For them to say, hey, those pagan Gentiles have our signs. And hopefully it would provoke them to jealousy that they may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Acts records for us the fall and the diminishing of Israel, as Romans 11 puts it. So how long does Paul's provoking ministry to Israel last? How long does that provoking ministry, where he would go to them, give them the gospel, reject, go over here to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy, how long does that provoking ministry last? Well, go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Let me show you. All right, here we are at the end of the book of Acts. Now, Paul has made this statement before to the Jews, but here we are at the end of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul is now in prison, okay? He's not traveling, he's in prison. And Paul makes a declarative statement of judgment on the nation of Israel. That is, and some significant things happen. Look at Acts 28 and look at verse 27. Acts 28, 27. We're right at the end of the book of Acts here. For the heart. Now remember, hey, before I read this, remember, all through the book of Acts, what do you got going on? You got Israel being called to repentance, but they don't want any part of it. They're not going to repent. They're not going to turn to Christ. And you got God simultaneously taking the gospel over here to the Gentiles, and God is beginning to form the church, the body of Christ. And He's beginning to reveal that through Paul about the body of Christ. So you got these two things going on in the book of Acts. Now we come to the end of Acts, and look what it says in verse 27. Paul said, "For the heart of this people," this is Israel, "for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." That was God's heart, to convert and heal Israel. But they didn't want any part of it. So verse 28 says, "Be it known therefore unto you," to Israel, "that the salvation of God is sent unto the," what? "Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So here's Israel, the end of Acts. They've had demonstration after demonstration of signs that should have showed them that this thing of Christ being the Messiah is true, it's real. This thing of what of God and what He's doing is true, it's real. They would not heed God's signs, such as the gift of tongues. They wouldn't heed it. So God, right here, is now pronouncing this very declarative statement of judgment, turning from the Jews, sending salvation to the Gentiles. Now, what happened after this? Well, soon after this, the Roman Emperor Titus entered into Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, with his troops. The Roman Emperor Titus went in there, sacked and burned Jerusalem, burned Israel's temple to the ground, and scattered Israel among the nations. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, he calls himself, never addresses Israel as a nation again in any of the books that he wrote after Acts 28. Never mentions them or deals with them again. In fact, you know what he calls himself in Ephesians? He says, "I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." In the book of Acts, you know what Paul says? In the book of Acts, Paul made this statement. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, but it was said during the book of Acts. See, some of Paul's letters he wrote during the Acts time period, when Israel was still in the picture. Some of the books Paul wrote, many, many of the books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, many of the books Paul wrote were after the book of Acts was done. So the Apostle Paul wrote during the book of Acts that his prayer to God, his heart's desire was for Israel to be saved. After Acts 28, all the letters Paul wrote, we never see anything like that again. We never see Paul even dealing with Israel, addressing Israel as a nation. And Israel nor the sign gift of tongues are ever mentioned again in any of the books Paul wrote after this statement of judgment in Acts 28. Now, one day, God will continue His prophetic program with Israel. After this dispensation of grace and the body of Christ is complete, we will be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when that happens, when we're taken out and this time of grace ends, judgment will fall on the earth, chastisement will come upon Israel. And then at the end of that chastising period of 7 years, Christ will return and God is going to keep His covenant promises to Israel. But during this time of grace, that prophetic program with the nation of Israel has been temporarily suspended. Tongues, the gift of tongues, would have ceased right around this Acts 28 time period or shortly thereafter. Because with Israel now out of the picture as a nation, not that individuals couldn't be saved within the nation, but I'm talking about nationally. Nationally, they've been set aside. Salvation goes to the Gentiles. So with Israel as a nation set aside, there was no reason for the further existence of the sign gift of tongues. Why? Because tongues are for a sign. And who requires a sign? The Jews. So now with Israel set aside, okay, tongues had fulfilled their purpose. Tongues were for a sign. The Jews required a sign, but they wouldn't heed it. They wouldn't listen. So God sets them aside. You say, well, what about 1 Corinthians? When was it written? It was written during the time period of about Acts chapter 20, when the gift of tongues was still very operative. Now, in light of all this, if you'll go back to 1 Corinthians 14, in light of this truth that we're sharing, in light of this, look what Paul says to them in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. He says, brethren, tells the church here, be not children in understanding. See, they were babes in Christ. They weren't spiritually mature, this church. Be not children, he encourages them, in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. What does he mean by that? Well, you know how kids can get real malicious at each other? But what have they done an hour later? What do kids typically do an hour later? They're playing together again, right? I mean, we've got six boys on our block, in our little block. And they can fight and fuss and argue and get all mad at each other. And an hour later, here goes my boys out the door. Where are you going? I'm going to go play with them. Well, I thought y'all just had a fight. Well, that was an hour ago. That's what he means. Adults, what do? They hold. Oh, yeah. Don't you wish we could be like kids when it comes to malice? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, don't be children. Grow up spiritually. But now, wait a minute. Yeah, do be like children when it comes to malice. Okay? And then he says, but in understanding, in your understanding of God and spiritual doctrine, he says, in understanding, be what? Men, grow up. And then he says in verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, Israel. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And then he says, remember Isaiah's prophecy, remember the reason for the gift of tongues, remember Israel right next door to you, there in the synagogue. That's remember that. And then he says in verse 22, remember, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Tongues are for a sign. It's a sign gift to unbelieving Israel. Okay? So hopefully you understand now, tongues were a sign gift when Israel was in the picture during the book of Acts. Once Acts is complete, salvation goes to the Gentiles, Israel is set aside, Israel is scattered among the nations, and any hopes for that, for the national promises that God gave to them was set aside. Okay? And one day he'll fulfill those, but right now he's set them aside temporarily. He suspended Israel's program. So the tongues, a gift of tongues would have ceased when that happened, when Israel was set aside nationally. Now, there are three times in your Bible that tongues are spoken. Only three. Now, they're mentioned in Corinthians. But as far as actually seeing the gift exercised, there's only three times in your Bible that the gift is exercised. Okay? Every single time, it was assigned to Jews. It was assigned to unbelieving Jews. Go to Acts chapter 2 real quickly, and I'll show you these. Hopefully we can get through these real quick. I think I can do it in about 8 minutes, and then it'll be 7 o'clock, and we're going to pray. Look at Acts chapter 2. Okay, now who is the audience? Okay, the 12 received the Holy Spirit, descends on the 12, okay? And who is the audience? Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem what? Jews. I'm in Acts 2:5. Devout men, but notice these Jews weren't all from there. It says in verse 5, they were out of every what? Nation. So it was a feast day. It was Pentecost. So a lot of these people, out-of-towners from other nations, had come into Jerusalem for the feast day. Okay? A lot of them would not have spoken, okay, the Hebrew language because they were born and raised somewhere else. Just like we're familiar with that. All right? So you see in verse 6, It says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak. And then what's the next four words? In his own language. He names all the nations there in verse 9, 10, 11, about over 15 different nations. In verse 11, it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, the wonderful works of God. So they weren't talking gibberish, okay? They were talking literal languages that these people understood. Now, the 12 were, I shouldn't say the whole 12, but we know that Peter and John, both of them are said to be unlearned and ignorant men. Most of the 12 were fishermen and stuff. They weren't brilliant men that knew, that were bilingual. And so these guys are unlearned, ignorant men up here speaking all these languages. Why? Why? Because Israel had rejected Christ, their Messiah. This was a sign, a miraculous sign. Remember, the Jews require a sign. So God in His grace gives them a sign on the day of Pentecost. And it's a sign that Christ is raised up from the dead and that He is, in fact, their Messiah, and they needed to repent and they needed to turn to Him. That's the audience. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the... Who's Peter preaching to? The house of Israel. Know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So God gives them this sign gift of tongues in order to convince and to persuade that Christ is the Messiah and that they had crucified Him. Go over to Acts chapter 10. This is the second time tongues are spoken. Acts chapter 10 is the story of Peter going to the house of Cornelius. This is the first Gentile man to receive knowledge of Christ, His death, and His resurrection. God sends Peter. Peter doesn't want to go because it's a Gentile and it's against the law to go fellowship and be in the house and eat with a Gentile. He doesn't want to go. God convinces him, you need to go. Peter goes and he shares with Cornelius and a whole group of Gentiles there that Cornelius gathered together. He brings them all together. And Peter, if you go down here, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Whom they, notice he's talking to Gentiles. So he says they, Israel, slew him and hanged him on a tree. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. All right, then he goes down here. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sins. And notice, Peter's not done here. Okay? Peter's not done preaching. I'm thinking that Peter now is going to go in to all the stuff that Christ told him to preach. Okay, what did he tell Israel? Repent and be baptized and all this. So he's getting to this. He's going to get now to repent, be baptized, all this. But before Peter can even get it out of his mouth, verse 44 says, while he spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So they're listening to Peter intently. These Gentiles, there's a Roman soldier and a bunch of Gentiles, and they're all sitting here listening to Peter. And they're listening to him. And it says in verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed, so those that were with Peter, these Jews, they were astonished. Why? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that the Holy Ghost came on them? Look at verse 46. For they heard them speak with what? Tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost? You understand, Peter can't believe it. On the day of Pentecost, he preached, repent, be baptized. They repented, they were baptized. Then they got the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2:38. Now Peter preaches, they believe the message in their hearts. And the moment that they believe, boom, the Holy Ghost comes on them. Without ever having been baptized, Holy Ghost comes on them and fills them, and they begin to speak in these languages. Now, why did God do this? Well, they were a sign. Remember, tongues are for a sign. And who requires a sign? Well, sure enough, Acts chapter 11, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they were that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." You'd think they'd be all happy, right? I mean, if I came to you and said, "Man, I went to a house and it was a whole group of people that were gathered together. They were hanging on every word I said and believed on Jesus." You'd say, "Man." They're like, "Peter, what are you doing going in Gentiles' houses?" They contended. They called him on the carpet for it. Verse 4 says, "Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them." Peter goes through the whole scenario, and I'm not going to reread it all, but if you look on down, here's the key. After he tells them all this stuff, verse 15, "And as I began to speak..." Notice, Peter wasn't done talking. There was more stuff he was going to say. But the moment these Gentiles believed, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' For as much then..." Look at this. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, these are the ones that were just calling them on the carpet for it, they what? You know what that means? They shut up. "And they glorified God, saying, 'Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.'" You know, what was it that convinced these skeptical Jews that the Gentiles could also believe on Christ? What was it that convinced them? It was what? It was the sign gift of tongues. It was the sign gift of tongues. Remember, tongues are for a sign. The Jews require a sign. Once Peter told them about the sign, that sign gift, okay, good enough for us. Acts 19, this is the last time they're spoken that we see in the Bible. We're now with Paul. And in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?' They said unto him, 'We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.' He said, 'What unto them, what when you baptized?' They said, 'Unto John's baptism.'" These people, these were some Jews right here. These were Jewish men, 12 of them, that actually had been back here when John was preaching in Judea. They had heard John preached, believed John's message that the Messiah was coming, okay? And they believed John the Baptist's message, but had never heard anything since. They didn't know that the Messiah had come. They didn't know he died on the cross. They didn't know that he resurrected from the dead. They didn't know the Holy Spirit had been given. None of that. Well, they believe what Paul tells them about Christ. They're baptized in his name. They receive then the sign gift of tongues. If you look on down here, it says, verse 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with" what? Tongues, and prophesied. Here you have Jewish men that had been following John the Baptist's message, and they received the sign gift of tongues as a confirmation that Paul's message was in fact correct. Now, tongues are for a sign. The Jews require a sign. Now, it's important to note that in every one of those three instances, tongues were definite languages spoken. You say, "What do you mean? Those tongues that were spoken, they were unknown to the one speaking them, but there is nothing to indicate in any of those texts that the speakers of the tongues were uttering some kind of unintelligible gibberish." In Acts 2, remember that story? Men from 15 nations, listen, heard the apostles speaking in their own languages. It was not unintelligible gibberish. in Acts chapter 10, Peter and his men heard the Gentiles speaking in languages. You say, how do you know it was definite languages? Because they said, we heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. How would they have known they were magnifying God if it was unintelligible gibberish? It was definite languages because they heard them speak in those tongues and knew that they were magnifying God. Right here in Acts 19. Okay, how do we know it was definite languages? Well, look at the verse. Verse 6. Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and what? How in the world would Paul and his companions, how would they have known that these men were prophesying if it was an unintelligible babbling? See how God clarifies that? It was speaking in tongues, but when they were speaking in tongues, it was a definite language because they knew they were prophesying. So, in every one of these instances, we see that tongues were a sign. And it was a sign that had to do with the Jews. And in every instance, it was definite languages spoken. Miraculous, because the speakers didn't know the languages, but it was definite languages. Now, next week, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to examine that chapter a little bit closer. I've kind of given you an overview for 2 weeks. We're going to get into it a little bit closer, and we're going to answer some lingering questions that you might be asking about the gift of tongues. Okay? Some of you may be saying, well, what about the unknown tongue in 1 Corinthians 14? Okay, we're going to cover that. And there's probably some lingering things out there that you're wondering about. And so what we're going to do is next week come back, dive into 1 Corinthians 14, and hopefully finish this thing up next week. Okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to thank you for being here tonight. Sunday night is a great time of spiritual growth. I encourage you to continue to make it a habit to come back on Sunday evenings as we grow in God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word tonight. I pray, God, that you will, Lord, help us to have understanding into this. Help us, Lord, to see that today we don't need a sign gift to make us complete. Thank you that we're complete in Christ. And thank you, Father, that we have the Word of God, the completed Word of God, and we have the Gospel. And we're to take that, Lord God, and we're to preach it and proclaim it. I pray that, Lord God, you'll help us, Father, to rightly divide your Word and to understand these issues. We love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us in your Son. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.